Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Musician, a psalm of David. Verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou holdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand your word, that we may glean precious truths for our lives, as we consider, O Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us in this psalm. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now this psalm, as it says in its title, was written by David, and it doesn't exactly say when it was written. Some people think, it must have been written at David's deathbed. You know, there's a transition, right, between rulers. And so the enemies, which are outside of Israel, as well as the enemies inside of Israel, they are just waiting for him to die so that they can plot and scheme and hand over power to the ones that they want to. And we learn after David's death, that's what happened. Some other people would say that this psalm was written about the time when David was kicked off his throne. Absalom, and he at that point in time was recounting the many things that had happened to him in his life, and also fearing the instability that this would bring to Israel, right, at his either at his death or as he's kicked off the throne. Now I tend to hold on to the latter, right, based on certain aspects in this psalm. Now we learn in verses 4 and 8 that he speaks of his own illness. He describes it as an evil disease. Now this could be figurative, or it could be literal. He did have a disease. Now verses 5 to 8, they speak of his enemies. He had internal enemies, and he had external enemies, and they were all plotting against him. There were those in the court conspiring against him. There are national enemies of Israel as well, waiting to strike against the kingdom. But we learn that what is most painful to him is not so much that he is sick, right, an evil disease, figuratively or literally, or it is the kingdoms or his people scheming against him. The thing that is most painful to him is seen in verse 9. A close friend has turned against him. Now, if this was written during the time of Absalom, right, the close friend would be Ahithophel. You remember your Bible history here? Ahithophel was David's really close counselor. But during the time when Absalom took over, it was found out all of a sudden that it was Ahithophel that was the one who took Absalom's side, right? And so David felt very betrayed. Now, eventually, what happened was, if you know the story, David sent Hushai and to go and counter the advice, right? And Hushai had more influence than Ahithophel. Ahithophel, therefore, went back to his hometown and he hanged himself, right? If you're interested in reading that, I think it's 2 Samuel 16, right? But anyway, what we see here is that verse 9 was actually quoted in the New Testament, and it refers to the betrayal of Jesus. Now, we'll look at that in a while. So what this tells us is that though David was writing about his situation here, he is under the inspiration of the Spirit, and what he writes, perhaps unbeknownst to him, but now known to us, is that he is writing about the greater David, about Christ himself and his betrayal by Judas and his suffering under the hands of men. Words here, they speak of Christ. Now, David going through his sufferings was a foreshadow of what Christ would go through. So there are three things that we want to learn from this psalm about our Savior. Firstly, we learn that he became poor for us. And secondly, his enemies spoke against him. And thirdly, his friend betrayed him. Now, verse 1 here, as David is speaking, he is writing, he is trying to justify why God should help him. God, you are the one who considers, or you help the one who considers the poor. So help me. Right? That's what essentially David was saying. But we see here, right, David was not always perfect in this. Right? Now, David is saying all these things to justify and to ask God to help him because he has been so righteous, he's been so good. But was David perfectly like that? No, he wasn't, right? We talk about, wow, this is such a perfect king. Well, David, you're nowhere close. But because we can see it not from hindsight, but having this lens, lens of prophecy, we know that it refers to Christ. Christ was perfect in all of these characteristics listed down in verses 1 to 3. Jesus considers the poor. In fact, what did Jesus do? He became poor himself to rescue the poor, didn't he? Now, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 teaches us this. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So Jesus became poor, right? And God takes notice of that. Now, last week we went through Psalm 40, and we see another prophecy about Christ. Psalm 40, verse 17, it says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." So Christ became poor. Right? Now, at the time of his death, he also portrayed the sorrow that David did when he was languishing in his bed. Right, you see that in verse 3, right? The word languishing. And this essentially means to be made weak, to be made low, to be made sad. Now, Jesus had that same experience. In Matthew 26, verse 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. My soul is exceeding languishing. It is being stripped of all its strength. And we see, you know, when Jesus said that, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was sweating great drops of blood, the Lord sent an angel to support him. Right? And that's what we see, right, the promise, right, in verse 1 of Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. This tells us Christ suffered for us. He became poor for us. And our God took notice. So the many promises given in verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 41 are only fulfilled in Christ, not in David. Now what we see here is that Christ also endured evil, right? Just as David did. But Christ, of course, endured more evil than David ever did. Verse 5 says, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Now, in the context of David, and if we're taking it, of course, according to some commentators, that it was written during the time of his betrayal by Absalom, when David was leaving Jerusalem, who spoke evil against him? Right, you remember that, you know, guy with the Chinese-sounding name, right? Shimei, right? He stood on a ridge, and he kicked stones at David, and he taunted him, and he cursed him, right? And David said, after that happened, in 2 Samuel 16:12, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me for his cursing this day. Now David's soul was exceeding sorrowful because his enemies spoke evil against him. But this is a foreshadowing of what happened to Christ. Christ had evil spoken of him. Now Psalm 139 verse 20 is a prophecy of the kind of evil speech that Christ would have to endure. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. And this is exactly what happened, right? We see here that the reputation of Christ, the people tried to ruin. Mark 3, verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Right, and this, of course, you see here the Herodians, the lead, the princes. And this even was prophesied of Christ, that even dignitaries and rulers would speak evil against him. Psalm 119, verse 23 says, princes also did sit and speak against me. So Christ came to be poor. He suffered. God took notice, yes. His enemies, like David, or he was evil spoken of, just as David was. But as I said, worst of all, Christ was betrayed by his friend, even as Ahithophel betrayed David. Now, those who often hurt the Lord and his church often appear to be friends. 2 Samuel 15, verse 12, and this is the passage that speaks about Ahithophel. It says, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, and its counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Now, Ahithophel, it is said, okay, some commentators said that he is Bathsheba's grandfather, okay? Now, I don't know how much, you know, how strong the evidence is, but it seems through the names, right, the name of Ahithophel's son and so forth. It seems that way. And that would have made it even more more difficult for David. It wasn't just a close friend, not just a close counselor, but even a relative. You see, so we learned that it was an inward friend. You know, Job has that phrase in Job 19. He says, "All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me." So this was not just some, acquaintance. It was an inward friend, a bosom friend, right? And that's why we see David saying in verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend," right? A bosom friend, and it describes him as someone whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread. Right, someone that he had close fellowship with. So, verse 9 is a prophecy that was eventually fulfilled during the Last Supper. Right, in John 13, verse 18, it says, "I speak not of you all." Now, Jesus, about the one who would betray him. And Jesus said, "I'm not speaking about all of you, but I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." And you remember, it was at the time of eating when Jesus hands the sop over to Judas. That was the exact time when Satan entered into Judas. Right, in John 13, verses 26 to 27, Jesus said, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." Now, Psalm 41 was written by David, as we're told in the superscription, right? Whatever David, our Lord, experienced, you know, 100,000-fold more than that. Each of us here, we've all been betrayed, but the Lord was not just betrayed by Judas. He was not just betrayed by Peter, right? By most of his disciples. He's betrayed by us whenever we deny him. Now, we saw the promises in verses 1 to 3, right? They were not fulfilled in David. David died. Peter notes in Acts 2:29, right, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day." So these promises, now why we know that Psalm 41 can't refer to David, right, but to Christ, is because these promises were not fulfilled in David, but they were fulfilled in the greater David, in Christ. So like David, Jesus entered into suffering that ended with death on the cross. Like David, Jesus was the subject of plots and schemings. His own people plotted to murder him, right? And of course, his enemy, the devil, plotted against his kingdom. Like David, Jesus was betrayed by a close friend. However, unlike David, all these promises are fulfilled in Christ, right? Jesus did not remain in the tomb, but God delivered him. Blessed is he that considers the poor. So as we take a look at this psalm, I think a very obvious application, not that I realize this psalm, but something for us to take away from it, is that whatever trials, betrayals that we experience, It's really nowhere compared to what our Lord has done for us. And drawing from the lesson of Psalm 40, where we talked about Christ as a king, and because he represents us, right, the church always flourishes. What we draw from that is, if Christ is our king, our federal head, our covenant keeper, whatever trials that we go through, he will see us through it. Not immediately, but he will see us through it. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for enduring the suffering and the Lord, we can't comprehend how much you suffered. Indeed, we will never be able to understand it or apprehend it. Lord, we thank you for suffering on the cross and enduring shame for us. Teach us, Lord, to have further insight of what you had to go through for your love for us. And help us, Lord, to render our gratitude unto you. We owe it to you, O Lord, to give our lives and our entire allegiance to you. And show us, Lord, as we go through our suffering, that because you endured, you grant us the strength also to endure. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.